time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, this is former Blue Devil O-lineman Matt Skura. You're listening to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. Go Duke, go ACC.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC football podcast. I'm Joey Weaver. They're the Disney dudes, and I have questions about the scene we've got set over here. Is there anything you guys want to tell the people off the top here?
We should probably put explicit on the episode. I will put explicit in the episode.
Parental advisory on.
Yeah, we should probably just leave it there before we get, I don't know, YouTube will take us down for something. Get rebound to X videos.
For different reasons.
The real story is this is the only sound-ish proof place in this Airbnb that we're at.
Yeah.
You should have seen it before we added the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Of course.
I'm assuming, by the way, and Dennis brings up a good point. Did you get to talk to Walt Disney down there about getting ESPN back on my YouTube TV?
If I had a dollar for every time I've been asked that, my father-in-law was texting my father-in-law is not here. He was texting my mother-in-law saying, "Hey, see what Mike can do about the YouTube TV situation while he's down there."
Yeah. Another week of college football without ESPN on YouTube TV. And that has been an adventure yet again. So appreciate the people's patience as I did my best to watch as much of these games as I could, but that was, not a ton.
Yeah. Yep. Whoever said nice hat, thank you. My wife bought it for me.
That's Cam.
Oh, hey, Cam.
Hey, Cam. Cam just in the comments, by the way, first of all, because he has stopped boycotting the show because we invited him back on. And second of all, because he wants to tell everyone how good his picks were this week. And I mean, no arguments here. They were phenomenal. So shout out to Cam. We're live, youtube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast. It is almost midnight on the East Coast. We just saw the end of Virginia and Wake. We'll talk about that game here in a few minutes. We also saw the end of Cal and Louisville. So we were, hot off the presses doing the Saturday Night Live main, Saturday Night Fever, whatever you want to call it. It is good to be back and doing this while, as you might have picked up on, Mike and Scott both on a family trip to Disney World. So I would imagine you guys are just fresh as a daisy here at midnight after a day at the parks.
Most sober I've ever been.
For sure. Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Understood. For the folks in the chat, we got a good crowd with us here tonight. I forgot how good these chats can be on Saturday nights as opposed to Sunday nights. Appreciate the people all staying up late and joining us. Good to see everyone in there. Please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. We would appreciate that. Update on the stream, by the way. We are live again on Apple Podcasts. So it turns out when that happens, that's 75% of our traffic or whatever is through Apple. So go find us there. If you're subscribed before, it should still be there. It's the same stream. It's just now it's only like three episodes on there as of this recording, but this will obviously be the fourth one. So all the backlog is gone from Apple and from all the audio sources. But if you want to watch videos for the last couple of years, they're all on YouTube, youtube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast.
If you want to go back and watch the old stuff, you can.
Like and subscribe. Yeah. Like and subscribe.
Please do. Please do. Hit the bell icon. You'll be notified when we're going to go live.
Not to our OnlyFans, to YouTube.
Thank you.
Despite what this whole thing looks like right now.
Like I said, you should have seen it before we added the background.
It was worse.
Y'all want to do a Roback rapid recap?
Let's do it.
As a reminder, use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at Roback.com. Phenomenal Q-zips and polos and hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts, all sorts of athleisure wear. Highly recommended. We love ours. Go check out the Game Day collection for some team-specific apparel. You'll love it. Trust us. Just go do it and go use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order. That helps us, and it'll help you as well.
As Joey read that ad read, Anthony Calendri, a former ACC player, just took it 70 yards to the house
ish
for UNLV.
Yeah,
so, our guy.
Let's come back, maybe.
Anyway. I told you in the preseason, like, him and that Dan Mullen offense is going to be fantasy gold if you're into college fantasy football.
Hey, who's going to use them tonight? Okay, let's move on.
Well, yeah, on that note, you want to do a Roback rapid recap?
Let's do it.
10 minutes on the hypothetical clock, but we're not going to need that much. So we will go ahead and get started here in 3, 2, 1. Wake Forest 16, the number 14 Virginia Cavaliers 9. Look, the luck finally ran out for the Hoos. And both from a football standpoint, from a turnover standpoint, and also I think somewhat from an injury standpoint, Chandler Morris goes out of this game in the first half, if I'm remembering this correctly. And Daniel Kalen came in. It was an honorable effort, but it was not enough. And Wake pulls the upset, gives Virginia their first loss in conference play.
Yeah, I tweeted this. I'm just really glad we can all stop pretending Virginia is good now. Also, I have some people already in the replies. Oh, the quarterback got hurt. I'm like, God, let's give it a rest. Let's all be adults. Okay. Let's all be adults.
That Wake drive to get the field goal was awesome.
Yeah.
Drove it down, hit a nice long field goal. Dickert was pumped. He said, that's a great effing drive on the sideline.
Yeah. 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 It was great.
I mean, I think this game is exactly what you think it looked like when you see a final score of 16-9. Like,
it was gross.
Wake converted one third down in the first three quarters of this game, I believe, and then converted three of them on that drive you're referencing, Scott, to kick a field goal to make it a full touchdown game. Yeah, it was certainly an experience to watch that game.
Yeah.
Cal 29, the number 15 Louisville Cardinals 26 in overtime. JKS not fully hitting the wall that maybe we thought he was. He had a great night here. He carved up Louisville. Louisville's defense did not have the best night. And, man, Miller Moss really did not have the best night.
I'm also glad we can stop pretending that Louisville's good now. Miller Moss is so bad.
Yeah.
Louisville, ironically, because Louisville lost to Virginia. Ironically, Louisville, I think, at this point in the season is a lot better spot than than Virginia is. And
can Miller Moss even make the end zone?
Miller.
Dude.
At the end of regulation, Scott looks at me because they clocked it with 1 second to go. And Scott looks at me and says,
negative 51 or 49.
Yeah. Whatever. He looks at me. He goes, can Miller Moss even throw it to the end zone?
He could not.
He could not. No. And he
couldn't even block for him with a 3-man rush or whatever it was.
I was going to say, we'll talk about that because, good Lord, this was a great game from a quarterback situation study standpoint. Lots to get into there.
We'll see where your head's at. Midler Moss, man.
Well done. The number 18 Miami Hurricanes, 38. Syracuse, 10.
Slow start.
Yeah, very slow start for Miami here, but ultimately they just kind of overwhelmed Syracuse and almost covered. Sorry, Cam.
Hughes went back to Ricky Collins.
They did.
For some reason.
Like, was he suspended last week? What happened?
Like, he came back and threw two picks. And
I get it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, one of them was atrocious and was run back for a touchdown. I know that for sure. So, anyways, we'll get to that one. SMU 45, Boston College 13. SMU avoids the letdown. Boston College, red bandana game. Doesn't really matter.
Our triple barrel lock.
That's a bad beat, Scott Van Pelt.
It was a little bit of a bad beat, yeah.
Yeah.
21 fourth quarter points in this game. That was not ideal. But, hey, I honestly impressed with SMU to avoid the letdown here after what happened last week and going on the road at noon and all that stuff. Good for them.
And all of a sudden, SMU finds themselves in the heat of the ACC title race.
Yep. Lots to talk about there for sure. UConn 37, Duke 34. We told you on the preview, don't not mess around here, Duke.
Not a conference loss.
Yeah, I mean, Duke is 4-1 in the ACC and 1-3 outside of it. So, weird year for the Blue Devils.
The UConn quarterback with the homophobic slur went absolutely off here.
You're referring to his last name, I believe.
Referring to his last name. Sorry.
Okay. Yes. Joey Fagnano. Yeah. That is honestly probably the toughest look for the ACC this weekend is Duke losing that game, which, again, UConn is a formidable opponent. That's fine. It's just you didn't need this with the way that the playoff rankings went and everything else. That's not great.
With how they lost, too, mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter makes it worse.
Manny Diaz defense. I need to have some conversations about that. We'll get there.
not good. Not great. He's had better years. Yeah.
North Carolina 20, Stanford 15. Stanford tries to put together a late comeback, is not able to finish the drill there. But this was every bit of a rock fight that we thought it was going to be. I think it was tied. Was it tied at 3 at halftime?
Was. Yeah, Stanford made a field goal going into half.
Real barn burner.
Yeah.
So. They kicked a line drive field goal to tie it going into half.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And then finally, the afterthought game of the week, Clemson 24, Florida State 10. Clemson gets off the schneid, and I don't know what either of these teams are at this point.
I didn't watch a minute of this.
I mean, how could I? I have Sling. I don't have a quad box, and I'm trying to watch Wake, Virginia, and Louisville, Cal, you know, the important ACC games.
There were two really good ACC games in the same window.
Mm-hmm.
And Notre Dame was on. Yep. Watching Notre Dame.
That's true.
Here at the Airbnb, they had cable, so we did have ESPN.
We did. They had Spectrum.
Mm.
But still, we only had one view. So we were masters of the go back button. If you remember those days, you had to flip back and forth.
Right.
So we had to pick two games that you had to flip back and forth on.
There you go. Volusia's Orange does mention that Clemson was good on defense in this game, and they for sure were. Tommy Castellanos in that run game for Florida State was very much neutralized here by Clemson's defense. So shout out to the Tigers. They do not lose this one at home, as I think there was a lock on Florida State plus the 2.5 there.
I don't want to talk about
it. That's all I got for the Roback Rapid Recap. Anything else?
And I think we're good.
We are good.
One more reminder, use promo code GOACC20 at checkout for 20% off your first order at roback.com. Where should we start?
I mean, take your pick of the two night games that were competitive.
I was going to say, what are your six biggest takeaways from SMU Boston College?
Would we lose that total by 5 points?
Three
points.
Yeah. What a much.
That was very sad.
That's kind of irritating, honestly. But
yeah.
Let's start with Charlottesville. Wake Forest 16, the number 12 Virginia Cavaliers 9. This was one where there's a couple of outcomes here that kind of toss the ACC standings into disarray a little bit, or kind of really change the narrative of what's going on in the conference. As mentioned, Virginia no longer getting away with it. Again,
Rent came due for UVA.
Yeah.
Chandler Morris came out of this game relatively early. And, obviously that doesn't help. But we've known he's been banged up. That finally came in. Daniel Kalen plays most of this game as the backup. Jamari Taylor, I thought, was good for Virginia. And he has been good this year. He is an angry, powerful runner. He went for almost 100 yards on the ground here, but it's like Wake did just enough on offense. This was an ugly game to watch, honestly. Wake finishes with a shade over 200 yards of offense and wins this game. Neither one could convert third downs. Neither one could finish drives. The way the game finishes is Virginia gets the ball with, I think, a little over 2 minutes left. They drive down. They've got 4th and 3 from about the 5-yard line. And they throw kind of a fade ball to the corner of the end zone. It's
double coverage.
Double coverage.
and it's incomplete, and that's it. So
I was confused at that because like they took the timeout before the third down play, right? So you figured they called two plays and that was their second play? Or they didn't call two plays?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not in the booth.
There's no time. Yeah. They also, Jamari Taylor on the drive before, he has a long run. He had half his yards on the night. I mean, it wasn't a bad game for him. I mean, he was averaging almost like 4 yards per carry before this. Mm-hmm. He had like a 43-yard run and then fumbled like two plays later, and Wake got the ball back and they get that field goal. So that's helpful. But then, yeah, UVA has a chance to go in, try to tie it late, couldn't get it done. Obviously, if you have Chandler Morris and he's the healthy Chandler Morris, that definitely helps you here. But also, Virginia hasn't played well for about a month so or more. So we're at the point, too, where Virginia could have easily lost a few of the games they've played recently. So the fact that they've lost this game tonight and we're going to use backup quarterback as an excuse, I think, is kind of rich. But yeah, it's a good win for Wake. Wake is now bowl eligible at 6-3, which is a pretty impressive year one for Dickert. And this has been a
that's our timer
for the
I mean,
it's been a pretty good year for Tony Elliott at UVA, right? Like, this isn't something that I'm just going to sit here and, you know, we're going to make fun of him for, really. But we've been waiting for this from UVA. Just how we were kind of, like, waiting for it with Georgia Tech last week. It was just kind of like, where is it going to, where is it going to be? Now, I will say, like, Georgia Tech's been playing a lot better than Virginia, right? Like, Virginia's been asking for it for weeks, for weeks, plural. Georgia Tech, it was more of like a vibes thing. Like, oh, they lose one generally around this time of year. That was just a little bit different. And then the NC State game went really poorly.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one for Virginia, it was like a rent coming due type situation. And Wake Forest is the team that we've talked about all year. They've been just feisty enough that if you get them, if you get them on a good night and you're having an off night, you're going to put yourself in a pretty tough spot. So yeah, Virginia was having trouble manufacturing offense for sure. Not having Chandler Morris doesn't help, but he's been banged up anyway. He took quite the shot here to leave this game, by the way. So see how he is, but
yeah.
It's got serious, Joey, it's got serious ACC title implications here. Like, this is a pretty big loss for Virginia.
It really does, because it gives, obviously gives them a loss. So now everyone has at least one loss in the conference. They're one of, was it four or five teams? Hang on, I just closed out of it.
Four. I think it's four, right?
One loss teams.
UVA, Georgia Tech.
No, it's five.
Oh, it's five? UVA, Georgia Tech.
Pitt, SMU, and Duke.
And Duke.
Now, Virginia and Duke play each other next week. So as we've kind of mentioned, that will be an elimination game.
Yep.
That'll give one of them a second loss. And then Georgia Tech and Pitt play in 2 weeks, which will be another kind of de facto elimination game. SMU still has, they still got Louisville, I believe, on their schedule. So if they want to hang in, they need to win that game. They also have Cal. I think they might be at Cal Thanksgiving weekend. So yeah, there's a lot of moving parts right now in this conference race. For this part of the season, a lot of wonky math to be done on if this, then this, and so forth with who gets in. But entirely possible, I guess, at this point that a two-loss team could get into the conference title game. But it's going to take some strange things to happen.
Yeah, well, Georgia Tech plays Pitt in 2 weeks, right? So that'll figure itself out there. And you just said about SMU, right, also playing at Louisville. So that'll figure itself out there.
And then we got Virginia Duke.
Yeah.
Well, but if SMU wins out, then you could have 3 one-loss teams, and then you get into wacky tiebreaker situations.
I was going to say, I do think you mentioned this last week, but you were asking, like, when do we need to start actually, like, seriously talking about the tiebreaks? And I think we've reached that time of year.
Yeah.
Because obviously calendar turns in November, but we're also in a situation now where we got, like, 5 or 6 teams still like technically in it with a handful that still have a really good shot of getting to Charlotte. Obviously Virginia comes into this weekend with no conference losses, right? So them suffering their first loss here is pretty significant. And SMU will get into their game in a few minutes, but like winning the way that they did today, like put themselves in a really advantageous spot where later in the day, Virginia loses. And now they find themselves squarely in the mix. Pitt, yep. I mean, Pitt didn't even play this weekend. Pitt's right there.
Big winner this weekend.
A huge winner, like not even playing a game. And they find themselves right there as Georgia one of the
Tech, same thing.
Legitimate shot.
Yeah, yeah, same for Georgia Tech.
Yep, Georgia Tech too. Yep.
So let's see. Wills, of course, advertising the there's a tiebreaker site, I guess, that'll help you to calculate out who wins. If certain games happen a certain way, like who goes, I don't know.
Perfect.
I did want to call out.
DM us the link.
Yep. Please do. I did want to call out, there was only one touchdown scored in this game. And it was not on offense.
Nope, it was a punt return.
It was a punt return touchdown by Wake. Was the only time either of these teams got into the end zone all night. So it was that kind of a game. So, anyways, we'll see with Virginia. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and I'm trying to decide if this is something I actually saw or if this is something like I dreamed at some point. I saw someone make mention somewhere, I think, of Virginia needs to extend Tony Elliott right now to avoid someone coming to get him with the coaching carousel doing what it is. And my answer to that was basically the same thing that I remember I saw Bud Elliott said about Nebraska and Matt Rhule, is like, if somebody wants to come get Tony Elliott, or if somebody wanted to come get Matt Rhule, let him. Like,
I mean, okay. Elliott, like I said, Elliott's had a nice year, but I mean, he's had also a few years that haven't been that good.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of like late stage Clemson offensive coordinator years that aren't that good either. But people are really quick to forget that. I don't know. And I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I think he's a fine coach. That's not it. But like, if there are other teams like ready to poach him, okay.
Like, yeah, I think he's, you know, in baseball terms, I think he's probably like a replacement level guy. Like, he's not G5? He's not bad and actively problematic, but like, I don't think you're going to be like, oh crap, what do we do now? Like, we lost this guy. Like, I don't know. I think it's kind of average. It's kind of fine. And like, if somebody else wants to come get him, like, you can find someone else, no problem, to keep this up or do better. I think,
let me put it this way, like, you can find somebody who is like, who's Tony Elliott's caliber, who can get just as much out of a roster that has this kind of NIL bag now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, we're talking about all the fundraising donations and all this stuff. Yeah. Like, they can find some, yeah, like, if that were a thing, which I don't even think it is, but like, if that were a thing, then they could figure that out.
Yeah. That is fair. Anything else on Wake, Virginia?
Nah, but Oregon State's in a hell game with Sam Houston State at home, so that's pretty funny.
Hold on. We have something for this.
You're right, we have something for this.
Wake 16, number 12, Virginia 9. The perfect road to the ACC championship has found a couple bumps, we'll say. Do we need to go to Louisville?
Yeah, we do.
Cal 29, the number 14 Louisville Cardinals, 26 in overtime there at Cardinal Stadium. Look, this is another kind of I've used this word unfocused with Louisville a few times this year, I feel like. This is another one where the defense wasn't super sharp. There were some bad moments that they had, but honestly, I felt like the defense still played probably well enough to win this game. JKS was excellent for Cal. This is one of the best games I've seen him play this year. He was really, really sharp, I thought. But Louisville's offense is really held back right now by Miller Moss's ability to meet the moments. Like, he has some of the just worst decision making. So they get the ball with 35 seconds left or something in the game. Great field position. They're on the 50. They only need maybe 10, 12 yards to get into field goal range. And Miller Moss starts that drive by taking a 5-yard sack. Like, what is that? He had a terrible pick that he threw in this game. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, he can't do it. He just can't do it. He's not good.
He sucks.
Not good.
Yeah, he's bad. The Cal punt by Brooke Honore.
That's his name.
Is that the right way to pronounce that? He had like the 10-yard. He had the 10-yard punt at the end. It was like a 10 or 15-yard punt that had Louisville at midfield, and then Miller Moss promptly takes that awful sack. And it's like, all right, it's like, okay. So we're not going. I guess we're just not going to kick a field goal here. We're just going to take this thing to extra innings, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then they follow that sack up by clocking it with a second to go, and that's when Scott and I were making the joke about
doesn't have the arm,
whether or not he could actually make it to the end zone, which he could not.
Bit of a noodle arm situation.
Man rush.
Yeah.
Props to Cal for going for the win. I really like that from Cal.
Yeah.
The route they ran there on the fourth down play reminded me of the Julian Edelman play. I don't know if that came to mind, but sorry if you're a Falcons fan out there, but that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Little pick play.
Sorry, Joey.
Had him in the flat.
You said the Falcons are dead to you, so.
I mean, you know how they got dead to me?
Or wait, was it against the Seahawks that they ran that play? I'm thinking of Julian Edelman. I don't know. Well, but Julian Edelman went the in and out, and they scored a touchdown. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting to be catching PTSD strays over here on the stream, but you know, here we are. Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from Cal, by the way. Again, JKS was awesome. Jacob DeJesus was incredible for him in this game, catching that game-winning touchdown on fourth and goal. To your point, Scott, and you sent this to the I wasn't even really thinking about it this way, but going for it there is basically the equivalent of going for two at the end of the first overtime anyways, because you're on the three.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yep. It's the same field position. It's the same stakes. Like, so.
Yeah. It's like extend or just win, you know?
Yeah.
Arson had something drawn up too. You could tell like they really wanted to go for it there. And Arson was actually,
well, they on the play before, they tried to do the Philly special type of play, and it died.
And went incomplete. And then Harsin,
he just like ran it up and he bailed on it and just took a yard gain.
Yeah,
kind of look at you watching there. Football.
Kind of scored there.
When I saw him cut up and dodge like two or three defenders, I was like, "Oh no,
is he going to actually score here?"
He almost did.
Yeah, I mean, Harsin was calling for Wilcox to take a timeout. You could tell he had something drawn up. And
yeah. Harsin, I mean, I don't know if in his bag is what I would say, but was definitely digging deep into the bag tonight with a number of like double passes and just various, you know, reverses and trick play kind of stuff. They were pulling out all the stops trying to win this game. And shout out to Cal, because getting to six wins, I mean, we've talked on there. It's like there was a path for them to start 5-2 and miss a bowl game, because this is a pretty tough ending stretch, especially with the loss to Virginia Tech.
Whoa!
Should have been a winnable game for Cal, right? But they were
expecting to catch strays tonight,
right? Yeah, back at you.
The Hokies didn't even play this week. Come on,
yeah, that must have been nice.
Georgia Tech didn't play either.
I know. It was nice. It was great.
It was nice. It was nice.
Stress-free. Stress-free. Just get to soak in the loss from last week. Anyways, Louisville, again, unfocused. I will say Miller Moss was a problem and a big problem. And I think it's frustrating that this is what Louisville seems like they're just going to do year over year. And it's becoming clear to me that, like, there's only, like, one Cam Ward in the portal every year. There's only one Carson Beck or anyone like that. Like Louisville going to get a quarterback out of the portal every year, you're getting everyone else's trash, right? Like Jag Plummer was like on his third school, Tyler Shuck on his third school, Miller Moss got benched by USC last year. Like you're taking someone else's junk and trying to turn it into something special. And like more often than not, I just don't think that that's a winning strategy. So we've seen enough of Miller Moss. He's had a couple of decent games this year, but for the most part, it's like we've talked. He's about the worst part of this Louisville offense. And that's the second out of 3 years. I think we've said that about Louisville's quarterback is it's just not good enough.
I just wasn't expecting it to take this long to manifest itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isaac Brown injured, did not play in this game. We did get a little bit of Duke Watson here in the first half, but more than anything, we saw Kewon Brown, the third string running back, and he was actually excellent. 14 for 136 in this game. He ran hard. He was really good, I thought. Louisville's receivers had some drop issues at times, and again, with the unfocused thing, it was drops. It was, can they get a foot down inbounds on catches on the sideline? Like, there are just some details that were missing here from Louisville that ultimately kind of add up to cost them the game. This is a pretty tough one for Louisville fans to stomach, I think.
I think a lot of Louisville fans thought a trip to Charlotte was gift wrap for them.
Yeah.
Got to win your games.
Coming into this weekend, I probably would have told you that Louisville had the best chance to win the conference, all in all.
Don't worry, right. Joey. The Citadel score just came on the screen. That was awesome. But
yeah. I would have told you that I thought Louisville probably had the best chance to win the conference between quality, record, what's left, all that. And
yeah.
Never mind.
Yep.
Anything else on this one?
Oh, wait. This is about Virginia. Well, sorry, Virginia fans. I think it's the first and last time Virginia is going to be in the CFP projected standings. Sorry.
Yeah, we're seeing that.
It's on the screen right now. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Virginia, man, at 14, losing to Wake. They're going to be in the 20s at best, and they might fall out of the rankings entirely with this loss. Which is a little bit, you know, insulting to Wake for the committee, but they did not look good in this game.
Yeah. All right.
So, anything else? Cal, Louisville?
Nope.
Cal 29, Louisville 26 in overtime. I did see a tweet. I haven't had a chance to watch the post-game press conference for Louisville, but I saw a guy, Mark Ennis, saying that Jeff Brohm was visibly unhappy with Miller Moss and how he played and how he handled himself in a lot of these moments in this game. So,
I mean, that's what you get for not recruiting a quarterback since you got there. Like,
yeah,
what you get.
That's a good question. Is there anybody committed or whatever in their pipeline at the QB position?
I have stopped spending mental energy on
all right.
Recruiting.
We'll circle back to that in the season recap that we say we're going to do in February. That doesn't actually happen.
Right, right.
Okay. See you then, folks.
We'll be right back to the episode, but wanted to give you guys just a quick reminder about Section103.com. It is the internet's premier place for all things wonderful Georgia Tech apparel. They have t-shirts, they got sweatshirts, they got hoodies, they've got things for men, women, children, babies, something for the whole family. Find it all at section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. I love mine. I've been a customer for years. They have been so good to us. They've got such great looking things using the official word marks, all the official colors. It's can be tough to find Georgia Tech gear sometimes, but not when you go to section103.com. Everything looks great. Super high quality. We've really enjoyed it. It's very comfortable. It holds up to the test of time. I wear mine all the time. I love mine. You will love yours. Section103.com. Once again, use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. Make sure you follow them on social media. They've always got different deals going on, promos that come out, especially when Georgia Tech has a big win, one of the teams. So make sure you keep up with everything going on at section103.com. They've got NIL shirts, lots of vintage apparel, all things for your Georgia Tech fandom. One last time, that is at section103.com. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 10% off your first order. Shout out to Steven and the gang, as always, for being huge supporters of the Basketball Conference podcast. We really appreciate it. You guys go show him some support, section103.com. And now let's get back to the show. Where to next? Disney dudes.
UConn Duke.
Yeah. UConn 37, Duke 34.
All right.
How are we feeling about Darian Mensah right now? Because he's like a real roller coaster, I feel like, of has some really high highs and good moments and some really low lows.
Just want to say that the Blue Hens, my pride and joy Blue Hens, did beat this UConn team like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
transitive
wins over the ACC.
Yeah.
Roll Hens.
Great when win we today said that, great win today from the Hens. We can get back to that
right
later.
That's right. Hey, Sicko's winner. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Hell yeah.
Joey was on that.
When we said in the preview, UConn could win this game. I'm not saying that this is Saban's Alabama level of good team, right? Like, they're right. Plucky and they're a little bit dangerous, but like, they're not incredible or anything like that. And so for Duke to kind of fumble this literally at the end, it's a little disappointing. And it really doesn't help the conference's perception at all. This game in particular is not a great look for the ACC. Darian Mensah, I mean, again, he has some good moments, and then he threw one of the worst interceptions I've seen all year. He's rolling out. He's got nobody in front of him, basically. Like, he's got a clear line of sight into what he's looking at. He's trying to throw it to a receiver who is directly behind a defender and just throws it directly into the defender's chest for an interception. It was like, what did you think you saw there, Darian Mensah? And then at the end of this game, Duke is set up basically in on the edge of field goal range. It would have been a long field goal, but I think they could have kicked it from there. Darian Mensah then takes like a 10-yard sack, drops the ball, and UConn picks it up, and the game's over. And I don't know. I was really disappointed in kind of how that played out for Duke and their offense.
It sounds like that's exactly what happened to Duke and the other three losses they had this year. It's just like self-inflicted wounds. That's exactly what happened against Illinois, kind of what happened against Tulane, and then obviously, Joey, you know well what happened against Georgia Tech.
Yep.
I don't know. Duke season and Virginia season's on the line next week. It should be the top game of the week here on this show. So,
yeah. We will see. Will Secor is correct. Darian Mensah.
Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
That's perfect encapsulation.
As you played that clip, the highlight of him crying on the sideline was on the TV.
That Duke defense, by the way. That Duke defense.
That's exactly where I was going to go here, Mike, was, as I mentioned in the rapid recap, Manny Diaz is a defensive guy, and man, Duke gives up a lot of yards and points for a guy like him who's supposed to be a defensive specialist.
Yeah, I mean, their best outing the last 5 weeks was when they beat Syracuse 38-3, and that was Ricky Collins' first start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's their best outing defensively. I mean, since then, they've given up 21 at Cal's okay. They gave up 27 Georgia Tech, 45 against Clemson last week, and then 37 this week. That's not going to get it done defensively.
Yeah. Cam notes, been there. And yes, you have.
So.
Yeah, this was not all that impressive from Duke. It's really odd looking at them, and it's like Duke is 4-1 in conference play and 1-3 out of conference, and they're still not bowl eligible here, by the way, which they're the only team on like the top half of the ACC standings that isn't bowl eligible yet.
Well, yeah, that's because they were losing games out of conference early in the slate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They were sloppy, turned it over a bunch against Illinois. They were sloppy against Tulane. They're sloppy here, -3 in turnovers. They really messed up a lot of the details against Georgia Tech, struggling to finish drives. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's something that I don't know that I had thought about that much, but I've heard a couple of national podcasts mention it, is that I guess when you take a step back and you look at it, Manny Diaz teams, even going back to his time at Miami, historically not great at the little things and not great at details, and it often finds ways to cost them games.
Yep.
I mean, Duke had 3 turnovers today.
Yeah.
Including, you know, the really bad interception and the fumble late.
Yeah. Right?
So you get what you get.
I will say,
shout out to Shakur. He actually DM'd me the link already.
Attaboy, Will. I will say I was laughing my ass off listening to the broadcast of this game. And at one point in the fourth quarter, they were talking about, well, here, Darian Mensa made it a point to come to Duke.
What did you just say?
Nothing.
Oh.
What's going on over there? We good?
I thought he said bourbon, and I said sure. Apparently he said nothing.
That sounds like an order now. I mean, yeah.
Hey.
I will say I was laughing at the broadcast talking about, well, Darian Mensa, the reason that he chose to come to Duke was that Manny Diaz talked about how much he really believed in him and how he was under-recruited out of high school, and he was, you know, they believed in him, all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, $4 million doesn't hurt either. Like, I'm sure that played a small role.
Yeah, like, I mean, pretending that, oh, yeah, he had a belief in what Manny Diaz was about. I'm like, what, the money? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
All relaxed.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a nice little Disney movie of a story of, oh yeah, he believes in me. Like, right. He paid you, buddy.
Joey, that Indiana catch, sorry, a little off topic. The 2 in a row there on the final drive, the one by the tight end to get into the goal to go, and then the one to win the game, 2 of the craziest catches I've seen all year.
So we were at a birthday party around lunchtime today, and we got back and like everyone else was laying down, and I was trying to get the 6-year-old to go up to his room. And I told him, I was like, we're going to turn on football games after nap time. So try to get him to get out. And he was still sitting in the living room, like playing with magnetiles, doing whatever he does. And I got a notification. I was looking at the scores of everything going on. I was like, there's nothing interesting here, whatever. Like, I don't need to turn on the TV right now. I need a nap too. Like, I was going to lay down. And then I got a notification. It's like, Penn State has Indiana on the ropes. And I was like, all right, we're turning on the TV. Yep. That was, I mean, what a finish to that game. And what a drive from our old buddy Fernando Mendoza. And yeah, the catches that were, I mean, that was an insane finish for Indiana to pull that one out at the very end. Wild.
Still undefeated.
Yeah. By the grace of God and Kurt Cignetti.
And Kurt Cignetti, yep.
Yeah.
So, dude.
Yeah. This is, I mean, another tough loss for Duke. And I don't know, man. Very weird season for Duke, honestly.
I mean, They've lost 3 of their coin flip on paper, right? 3 of their coin flip non-con games. They've lost, I mean, basically because of turnovers.
It's but it's not like random unlucky stuff. It's like self-inflicted stuff. It's that's the one thing is, like, I wouldn't say, oh, they've been unlucky. It's like they're a sloppy team half the time. It feels like
sloppy. Yep. Now Virginia's lucky. Duke's sloppy.
Yeah. I will give it that. And that's where them playing Virginia next week. It's like, if you can put together 60 minutes of don't shoot yourself in the foot, like, Duke could absolutely beat Virginia and throw the conference title race into further turmoil, right? Like,
All right.
Anyways, that's all I got here. Producer Scott's trying to get us to move on.
We have to be up early. That's all.
Yeah.
we got a few games left, and there are a few blowouts.
Yeah. UConn 37, Duke 34.
Let's talk about the one that was kind of close. Carolina. Well, it wasn't really that close because Carolina was up 20-3.
Yeah, but they were.
About 10 minutes left. Stanford covered.
So good for Stanford.
Stanford does find a way to cover. North Carolina 20, Stanford 15.
It's weird. I haven't heard much from Pablo Torre since North Carolina started winning games. That's a little weird, huh?
I guess so.
He doubled back and went back to doing the aspiration, Kawhi. the aspiration yeah. like Kawhi thing. He's like, I think I'm done on Belichick. We've had that weird recording with NFL Films of Belichick and his 20-year-old girlfriend like being mean to the producers or like talking about how they can't do Photoshop. Mm-hmm. That was a bust. We're gonna go back to the.
Hold on, I need to display this comment from New Jacket. Blue Chew Bill is on.
Oh yes, he is. Blue Chew Bill.
Well done, well done.
Blue Chew Bill and Jordan Hudson, not the SMU receiver.
Thank you, New Jacket.
Powder Joey. Blue Chew Bill.
Joey, let's play our weekly game of: is North Carolina going to a bowl game?
I'm glad you're on the exact same wavelength. I was already looking at their schedule.
Go ahead. Perfect. So we've been doing this for about a month now, right? I mean,
Wake, Duke, and NC State, right?
Essentially, Carolina was in that Cal game, right? And they lost because of the fumble at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
They get stopped at the 1-yard line in overtime against UVA. There was a fumble in that game that cost them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we were already talking. We're like, they're going to start catching some teams here down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing the game of, will they make a bowl game? Well, now it's more realistic. They've won 2 in a row. So now they're 4-5. They have 3 games remaining. They're one of the few teams left in the country with 3 games remaining. A lot of them are, or at least in the conference, because there are a lot of teams on bye next couple weeks. Yeah, double byes. At Wake, Duke, and NC State.
At NC State.
Yeah. Yep. At NC State and at Wake Forest. So 2 out of the last 3 are on the road. They got to win 2 of them. So
I'm gonna say no.
You say no.
I think that they could very easily get Wake Forest next weekend.
I think so too.
Which also I think if Duke beats Virginia next week, then it's a letdown spot afterwards. But that depends on what happens next week.
Could be. Yeah. You know what's even funnier? We realize how close North Carolina is to being in this one loss ACC title race. Yes.
Thank you. Like, they are literally 2 fumbles away from me. I mean, we talk about like Duke's fumbles, right? Yeah. Like Duke turning the ball over a bunch. You could make the argument, and Duke's got the 1 conference loss, right? You could make the argument, right, that Carolina could have been in the exact same spot.
They're like a yard and a half away. Right?
Seriously. A yard. Yeah. Like the fumble against Cal, like going in to score with 1 minute left. And then, the being stopped at the 1 in overtime, going for 2.
Yep.
Against UVA. Yeah.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
I'm going to check it out on Hawaii here.
I'm going to say that they beat Wake Forest next weekend.
And then
we got an early line on this.
Name that spread.
Oh, name that spread. Okay, let's do it.
I'm saying in 3.5. 3.5. Wake Forest. 3.5.
Wake by 3.5.
I'm guessing. Update on Hawaii. They're up 24-6 on this.
I think Carolina might be favored on the road. I could see it being like almost like a pick 'em.
I'm gonna look.
I was gonna say like minus 1 or something.
Yeah. Like, could you see it like? Could you see it like 1 point either direction?
Yeah, totally could.
Like basically a pick 'em.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I, Will Secor has Wake minus 5.5. That's a lot. Wake's offense has not been playing well at all for how good this Carolina defense is. And that's where I think Carolina can win this game, is if Carolina can score like 17 points, they might be able to win like without a problem.
And Gio Lopez, by the way, he played well today, and he's been sneaky, like flying under the radar, playing better, like taking care of the ball, which is something he was not doing the first like 7 weeks of the year.
Okay, upon seeing what lines are available, I want to lean with Mike, because currently Louisville is only a 3.5 point favorite against Clemson next week. So I'm going to lean with Mike. According to the DraftKings Sportsbook.
Miller Moss is not good. So
I mean, yeah, man. Midler Moss.
As we have extensively covered on this show.
Bet Midler Moss.
I will say, you know, Gio Lopez doing a good job taking care of the ball, but there was one moment in the second quarter of this game that's going to come back up in awards. I'm going to call that out right now.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
See you later.
So we'll come back to that.
Carolina still can't run it, by the way. They've not been able to run the ball all year, really.
Right. I mean, offense in general is a problem for this team. Like, it's everything is pulling teeth, trying to move the ball, trying to convert third downs, trying to finish drives, like everything. It's all difficult.
By the way, you could somebody could tell me that Carolina has a top four defense in the ACC, and I would kind of believe them with how they played the last few weeks.
Yeah, probably. Honestly.
So,
certainly if you get to like five or six, yes. Like
Yeah. So. Top half, I mean, easily.
Without looking, how many sacks did North Carolina have in this game? How many times did they sack Elijah Brown?
Six.
Too low.
Oh, jeez.
Eight?
Too low.
12.
They had nine sacks in this game.
Now that I'm looking, nine sacks and nine tackles for loss.
The box score is hysterical. Elijah Brown, nine carries for negative 73 yards.
All of them are sacks. All of them are the sacks.
Yep.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah. This the offense in this game was a little bit of a set football back a couple decades situation.
I mean, this was 3-3 at half. Carolina scored a few times here in the second half to get themselves out in front. Stanford, a couple scores late to cover. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's how you backdoor it.
Stanford also went for two on both of their fourth quarter touchdowns, which, so, you know, spiritually this is 20-17, but because they went for two both times, they didn't get it. It's 20-15. I guess the theory there is it's a little bit of a play on the down 14 thing where you score, you go for two, and you give yourself a better chance to win the game. But I don't know. It's like, oh, we're going for two to make it a 9-point game. Like, why?
I'll tell you what, man, you're in a bad spot if you're chasing points against North Carolina with the way they play offense. That's tough.
Yep. Yeah. So this was not a sight for sore eyes kind of game. There were obviously a couple of those in the ACC this weekend, but shout out to the Tar Heels. They got it done. I think I'm going to pick them to beat Wake Forest next weekend. We will see. I don't think they're going to be able to beat Duke or win at NC State. I think both of those teams.
That's a lot of faith in the Wolfpack.
As good as Carolina's defense has been, those teams have just too much offensive firepower for Carolina to be able to score enough, I think, to be able to win that game, those games. So I'm thinking this is a 5-7 kind of season, and we'll see what happens after that for this entire program, basically. But good win for now.
Which should have been, by the way, like we were looking at on paper with who they were playing before the year. Five was kind of the floor anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
Like, I don't think any of us thought this Belichick thing was going to turn into like 10 wins. Like, none of us thought that. But
right.
Would they be like around bowl eligible? I think we all said, yeah. And it didn't look good at the beginning of the year, but it looks like they're going to scrape their way to, I mean, they're in the neighborhood.
They are. They could do it.
They could do it. I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, they could definitely do it.
But I mean, if they can get Darian Mensah to throw him the ball four times, maybe they will pull it off, and maybe they will go to a bowl game.
Right.
You think those TV execs want Bill Belichick at a bowl game in December?
I was going to say, yeah, that and the fact that, like, that Duke game, just with how they've played and how they lose games, that game looks a lot more winnable, especially when you're playing defense like this.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Anyway.
I'd agree. North Carolina 20, Stanford 15.
All right. Let's temple run the last three. Guys, these games were not good.
Yeah. SMU 45, Boston College 13. As mentioned, SMU avoids the letdown here. That in and of itself is pretty impressive. It was basically from the jump. Boston College also, we missed a thing from Bill O'Brien had a press conference last week where somebody asked him a question about, you know, how do we keep the mood up when everything's going poorly? And
Bill O'Brien
did not take too kindly to that question. And it was, yeah. Hey, Trevor. it was funny. Go find it if you can't. But yeah, Boston College turns it over twice in the first quarter. and leads to points for SMU. And then Boston College, to their credit, they had a couple of turnovers on downs in the first half. Like, they were going for it, trying to score touchdowns instead of kicking field goals, like trying to win the game. But Boston College ends up 2-for-15 on third downs and 4-for-7 on fourth downs in this game. They rack up almost 400 yards of offense, but 13 points. And that's what happens when you have long drives that end in no points. And it's not a good way to win a game. So,
no.
If you parlayed that 4-for-7 fourth down conversion rate over an entire season, you'd be like one of the best offenses in the country, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, does Boston College win another game?
They still have Syracuse. Remember,
they still haven't won since Labor Day.
Yeah, I told Mike that today. They haven't won since August.
Yeah,
we were on the we were sitting by the pool, and we were like, "All right, Boston College has won one game, like back August, basically. Florida. Like, who was it in the non-con that they beat?" And we were like kicking it around, like without looking. We're like, "Oh, was it like Central Connecticut? Was it Holy Cross? Was it like
UMass?
Who was it?" And Scott finally looked it up. He goes, "Oh, yeah, that's right. Fordham. They beat Fordham."
They beat the crap out of Fordham in that game.
Like, yeah, and have not won since.
Nope.
And it's a little funny looking back on it, because when they nearly beat Michigan State in overtime in East Lansing, and we were like, man, like, you know, that was an impressive showing from Boston College and all that stuff, and it's now like, is Michigan State going to go to a bowl game? Like, that had big...
Yeah,
like
they're also bad.
Texas is back, win over Notre Dame energy, where that was the 4-8 Notre Dame year, and like...
Yeah.
Neither of those teams made a bowl game. Yeah, that's a little bit of what we're looking at here. Yeah, Boston College has Georgia Tech in town next weekend, and then at Syracuse Thanksgiving weekend. And if you're going to win, I'm as much as I'm always like waiting on the other shoe to drop, Atlanta sports fan with Georgia Tech, like I feel okay with the Jackets' chances next weekend, coming off a bye week, going into Chestnut Hill against this Boston College team, what they've been. So.
Yeah,
we will see. Not pretty for Boston College, and good for SMU. They keep rolling.
So this is actually really funny. So SMU had 574 yards of offense.
Yeah,
they also had 13 penalties for 155 yards, and they won by 32 points.
I did not know that about the penalties.
Did not matter.
Yeah. They did not care. They had multiple 100-yard receivers here. TJ Harden goes for 130 on the ground. Kevin Jennings only completes 16 passes, but for 326 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, again, good showing for SMU. They didn't mess around here. They took an early lead, and they were up 17-6 at halftime, and then just hit the gas coming out of halftime too. So
we had SMU BC on the big screen, and we were.
And we turned it off.
Playing with the kids and everything. And like, every now and then we just kept kind of checking the score, and that game just the spread just started, it was further and further away. We're like, all right, SMU's pulling away here. We missed the part where they had like 150 yards penalties.
Yeah.
we switched over to Penn State
and
Indiana.
Yeah, this is while I was at the birthday party, and I was like checking scores, and I was like, oh, I don't need to watch this game. So SMU 45, Boston College 13.
Miami.
Number 18, Miami 38, Syracuse 10. Again, this was another slow start for Miami. Like, it was 7-0. They got a pick six in the first half off of Ricky Collins. That was a bit of a ridiculous interception from Collins, but that's become the norm, I think, from him. Yeah. But Miami comes out after halftime, and it's touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown. Like, you know, ultimately got some margin. Like, this is kind of reminiscent in a way of some of those, like, first half of Saban's Alabama tenure teams where, I mean, it's the spirit of, I guess, what the Solid Verbal christendom as crockpotting, where – it's never really all that exciting, and you know, they're not like that impressive, but then like you look up in the fourth quarter and it's like, oh, like they're up by a lot of points. Like, it eventually it works, and that's kind of what happened here. It was a bit of a lethargic, slow start for the Hurricanes, but they took care of business, and they were about a half a point away from covering here.
Yeah, this kind of played out like the Stanford game a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we're more talented.
Except they didn't cover this time. And the last time you needed them to cover.
Yeah.
I mean, or the other way around.
Yeah.
Will Secor notes that Syracuse scoring with about 20 seconds left in the game was significant to some.
Yep.
Including Cam, who had locked up Miami minus 28 and a half.
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah. So Cam notes that they did open up the playbook a little bit and started running some different stuff, which, yeah, I mean, that's become a bit of a talking point in the last couple of weeks with Miami is like, we talked about like, oh, the offensive line is supposed to be great, but they're struggling to run the ball at times. It's like, well, yeah, if everyone knows that you're just always running in the A gap, it's not as hard to stop. Like, you know, however good your offensive line is, they, you know, people can figure out a way to stop it if they know what's coming. So yeah, you got to be able to change it up a little bit if you're Miami at times.
Yeah, man, this is gonna make Cam really mad. Clemson offensive coordinator Shannon Dawson. Is that what we're gonna do?
Ooh.
Why? He's here listening.
He's in the comments right now. duo. Yeah. I don't know what to do with Shannon Dawson. Like, it's mostly good, but there are times, man, it's like, it's not as good.
Yeah.
We did have a Joseph Filardi sighting late in this game for
Syracuse. I thought we had enough of that a week ago, but I guess not.
Man, it's crazy how this season started for Syracuse, and now it's just like a sim to finish situation. Like, let's just get this over with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have been listless for like a month.
Yeah, it turns out they're really bad without a starting quarterback.
Yeah. Fran Brown has to smell terrible by now.
Yeah. And like, what do you even do? Like, all right, I guess we're going back to Ricky Collins this week. Like, he's got no answers. And it's not really his fault. Like, they're just, I mean, you're Syracuse, so you're not like, you don't have copious amounts of depth on your roster, but you were hoping to at least have a backup.
Do you know what Syracuse has left? They have two games. We've already mentioned the Syracuse or the Boston College game.
Who else do they have?
They have a bye week next week, and then do you know who they have the week before Thanksgiving?
Nope. Yep.
They're going to South Bend, Mike.
They're going to South Bend.
Name your score.
Name that spread.
Bang, bang, bang.
So Notre Dame played Navy tonight. They were four touchdown favorite. Navy's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what's that spread going to be? That was 49-10. So what do you think that
34.5.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say. Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, that's 41. That's a Notre Dame team trying to get tuned up to make a playoff case against a Syracuse team that can barely score and has looked awful for 6 weeks. Like,
yeah,
square, like, name your score game. And as we've mentioned it, I want to bring it up again. Syracuse's defense is trying. Like, they are playing hard. They're giving effort. It's just not there. And the offense can barely move the ball, which doesn't help anything either.
Yeah, it's a high school offense.
Yeah, so God love them. They're trying, but it's not happening for Syracuse's defense right now, unfortunately. Miami 38, Syracuse 10.
Last one.
The afterthought of the week. We saved it for last. Clemson 24, Florida State 10 in Death Valley. Clemson gets back on their winning ways at home after a pretty silly losing streak. This was all Clemson for a while. Florida State really struggled in this game, and Clemson's defense probably a big piece of the reason there. Cade Klubnik was solid. Tommy Castellanos had 43 passing attempts, which is like twice. Yeah, that's like double what you ever want from him in a game. So that's a tough scene.
I mentioned this, but so I didn't get eyes on this at all.
Mm-hmm.
One screen, remember?
One screen on vacation. When Clemson scored their opening touchdown, we had a Clay Sweeney 2-point conversion. Was that like a botched hold that he ran in, or was this like a fake? Does anybody know?
If I'm being honest, I have not seen that either.
So we'll look at it again on the look back on the next week's preview.
Yeah.
I mean, that's funny as hell.
And Dennis saying that they went for two.
Sure.
I mean, Georgia Tech did that a few weeks ago against, I don't think it was Syracuse. It was someone at home where they scored and they went for two right off the top. And it was like, wait, what? Like, why? And Brent Key said in the post game, it was like, oh, well, we wanted to be aggressive and we wanted to set the tone. It was like, okay, like, fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was odd.
Is Clemson going to make a bowl game?
I mean, both of these teams are 4-5 now. And so Clemson, they're going to have their senior day walkthrough nonsense against Furman. So that should
I'd rather be North Carolina than Clemson with the remaining schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clemson's got at Louisville, home against Furman, at South Carolina.
Yeah.
And Carolina has at Wake Forest, home against Duke, at NC State. I would much rather be North Carolina than Clemson.
Yeah. I feel like there's a ton of variance in really both of these teams week to week right now. I mean, Florida State looked awesome last week against Wake, and they looked like they just didn't really want to be there this week, which is bizarre. Florida State, three games left. They need to win two. Virginia Tech in Tallahassee. They're in Raleigh against NC State, and then they're in Gainesville against the Gators.
What's the line next week, we think?
Against the Hokies.
What's the line against the Hokies, we think, at home?
In Tallahassee?
Touchdown? Yeah, touchdown, 6.5.
Florida State, -5 or something.
Yeah.
I would say. I don't know what to do with that game. I got to come up with something to discuss on the preview for that. But
yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it later this week. But like, if that gets up to 10 or something, I'd be all over that.
Florida State's still looking for the buyout money.
Right, right.
Put the money in the hat.
I mean, they're gonna they'll find it a little bit easier when you're losing to this version of Clemson.
Yeah.
If they don't make a bowl game, I think Norvell is cooked.
He might be cooked regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
He might be cooked regardless, but no bowl game might be the final nail in the coffin, basically.
I mean, you can't go 2-10 and then not make a bowl game with the roster you just paid for.
With beating Alabama the first week.
Yeah, you beat Alabama and the openers still don't make a bowl game. That's some Virginia Tech shit. You know, that's trouble the whole way.
Yeah. Some hokey shit.
Sorry.
No.
I'm not going to mind us. I'm not going to put the
explicit tag that Duke on fumble. That Duke fumble is so bad.
Yeah,
he's crying again.
I know.
What was he doing? Why are you running around backwards? Go forward. Throw the ball
forward. Yeah.
Anyway, they might make a bowl game. They might not. Either
team. Both of these teams are definitely on miss a bowl game watch though. And
they might make a bowl game. They might not. We're all going to die anyway at some point.
Miss a bowl game watch. Put it on a T-shirt. You're on Mr. Bowl game watch.
Point is, Clemson's going to have to steal one either at Louisville next week or at South Carolina. And I think I don't know if they'll be underdogs at South Carolina. This thing has gone really sideways for the Gamecocks as well this year. So that matchup has way less luster than it looked like it was going to coming into the year. But
I mean, Florida State's thanking their lucky stars. They had East Texas A&M and Kent State on the schedule.
Mm-hmm. They sure are. Clemson 24, Florida State 10.
Awards.
Bang.
Good job, Joey. Efficient, baby.
Look at that. Go. Hour and six.
All it took was a casting couch.
Gonna snip that to be used as a sound effect at some point.
Yeah, I mean, clip that.
All it took was a casting couch.
Usually you are getting snipped to go on the casting couch.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Let's do some awards. All right. I mentioned earlier during the North Carolina Stanford recap that there was a moment that has to come up for Go ECC Moment of the Week. Did anyone see the fumble that Gio Lopez had in that game?
You know, please enlighten us.
It was like the most slow motion, just perfect thing. So Carolina, I think this is in the second quarter, Carolina has worked the ball down the field. They're kind of in field goal range. We're getting some traction on offense. We're moving the ball. And then Gio Lopez rolls out for a pass, and he's rolling and he's looking. And Stanford has a defender come up. Let's see, Rose. I don't know his full name. And he's coming up at him, and Gio Lopez sees him, and he's still trying to throw the ball and doesn't find anyone, rears back, and Stanford's defender just knocks the ball out. Like, it was the most slow motion strip sack I think I've ever seen, where it's like Gio Lopez watched this happening for 3 or 4 seconds before it actually happened and still did nothing about it. Fumble picked up by Stanford. No points. Under catches. Lock of the week. Hell yeah. Go ACC.
Go ACC.
Yep. The Kobe Bryant Memorial. Volume shooter of the week.
Boy, we got some candidates this week.
I was going to say, there's a couple of games here. Take your pick of...
Is the Boston College offense a candidate?
Oh, a little. Well, in a way. I mean, they racked up a ton of yards and, like, no points. So
that's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of a different situation there where, yeah, I don't know how you rack up almost 400 yards and 13 points. That's special. Kobe.
Carolina's rushing attack.
Mm-hmm. Not pretty.
Yeah, even stack adjusted, it was 20 carries for 54 yards.
Whoa. I mean, Davion Gauss and Benjamin Hall, 16 yards. Carries for 40 yards between the two of them.
Like, yeah, really bad.
Kobe.
Kobe.
The Brian Van Gorder Memorial, You Tried Award.
Boston College's defense, or if we wanted to actually be serious about it, maybe like Syracuse's defense, because
they did try.
So bad, like they, yeah, Syracuse actually tried.
They did try. Duke's late game execution.
I mean,
Darian Mensah.
Yeah, speaking of, you died award.
You tried it being the top ranked team in the college football playoff projection bracket to Virginia.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a reach, but
they tried. I don't think I have a Bobby Petrino Memorial You Didn't Try award this week. Maybe Florida State, but I don't think so.
I mean, they rolled over, don't
kick them while they're down.
Yeah. What, Florida State? I would never.
Never. Another pause. Miller Moss.
Yeah. Mike, do we have any unsanctioned awards this week?
Yeah, you died at work as Boston College.
Tough scene.
Yeah.
So, is Syracuse retired from that award this year?
Yeah, because it's not really their fault. I mean, it kind of is because they just don't have any quarterback depth. So it is in a way, but also they're Syracuse. Like, how much depth are they supposed to have?
Yeah.
Boston College, like they got two healthy quarterbacks and they can't decide which one to start, and then they're both bad. So
yeah,
you have Bill O'Brien yelling at the media and then you go out and you lose 45-13. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, man.
Tough scene.
Yeah.
Team of the week. UConn.
UConn. Yeah.
It's either Cal or it's Cal and Wake, I think, are co-teams of the week.
You get the eye roll and the UConn sound?
Well, it's
over there.
I'm not going to.
Hold on.
It's there somewhere.
Where is it? It's got to work on the labeling here.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Didn't bring the whole soundboard contraption with me this week.
I'm locking up UConn.
There it goes.
There it is. Yeah, team of the week, Wake pulling off the upset on the road, Cal pulling off the upset on the road. Shout out to those two. Player of the week, I'll give it to JKS because he was awesome. I don't feel as strongly about any one player for Wake. But JKS was great, as was Jacob De Jesus with 16 carries.
Yeah, he cooked.
158. He was great.
TJ Harden for SMU, 16 for 130.
And they had another running back score three touchdowns, and it wasn't mm-hmm. him. So
yeah.
Derek yeah. McFall.
Derek McFall into the end zone
for SMU. 5 carries, 64 yards, 3 touchdowns. That'll play.
Yep.
So SMU's rushing attack collectively, really good.
Absolutely. All right. That's all I got on week 11.
Player of the week, Pablo Torre. I can't wait to keep making fun of him.
You died, Ward, to my wallet this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you went to the most expensive place on earth. That's what yep. they call it, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I took a look at the debit card this morning. I'm like, hey, we're going to have to move some money over.
$17 for a balloon, $5.50 for a coffee.
We're going to have to move some money around.
Y'all haven't gone to Epcot, have you?
No.
I haven't been. We're not doing Epcot this trip, but I have been to Epcot before.
I've been before. I think I was in maybe high school or something like that, though. So I wasn't able to do the drink around the world thing.
Yeah.
But my big brother in the fraternity, like his dad worked at Disney. He's from Orlando. And they would always go every year at like Christmas time. He and a bunch of fraternity brothers would go down and drink around the world one day. And as an adult now, I'm like, how expensive was that? Because you figure a beer there is probably what, $28? If I had to guess, $1,000.
I had a mixed drink at a Disney resort in Hilton Head on the way down here, and it was almost $17.
Yeah.
So that was a bourbon lemonade. It was $16.50, I think.
Where'd you stay in Hilton Head?
Disney resort.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. There was a Disney resort, different from Sea Pines, where I stayed a month ago.
I grew up going to Sea Pines regularly, so.
Yeah. No, I stayed there a month ago, but this time it was the Disney place.
There you go. Fair enough. Cam mentions Jacoby Thomas, five tackles, a sack, an interception, and a fumble recovery for Miami. Hashtag snubbed. It's fair.
All right. He's player of the week.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Why not?
Thanks for the nomination.
We'll see you on Cinco's picks again, Cam, because I'm just going to start tailing all the stuff you picked.
I was going to say, Cam on a ridiculous heater this week. Melkart, Abu Jaude, and Tyler Thompson for North Carolina. I don't think I can do that again. I'm going to hurt myself. Both of them had 3 sacks for North Carolina in their game against Stanford. So two guys combined for 6 sacks. That'll do it.
Yep.
That'll do it.
There you go. That's all I got on week 11. You guys want to work on getting out of here so we can come back and preview week 12?
Yeah. See you later this week on that preview.
Let's do it. Thanks to all the people for joining us in the comments. It was a lot of fun tonight. We had a really good showing, and this is, you know, what happens when we do it on Saturdays, I guess, instead of Sundays. We've been live, youtube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Hit the like button. We would really appreciate that. Hit the bell icon. You'll be notified when we're going to go live next time. That'll probably be – it's been Wednesdays for the most part this year, but we'll see. We'll see.
Wednesday should be fine.
We're closing in on the end of the season here, so keep it tuned here.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not do that.
Week 12. We do have a Friday night game next week. Clemson in Louisville is a Friday night situation. And then we got 6 games on Saturday. We got a preview. So we'll come back at some point and preview those games. We're on Twitter at FTRS Joey, at Mike McDaniel SI, at BC Podcast ACC together. We are now once again live on all major audio platforms, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever they are. If you were subscribed prior and aren't seeing it in your feed,
go resubscribe.
Yeah, please resubscribe, because there might be a couple of like separate new feeds, especially on Spotify. There definitely is. And Amazon. That's right. So go find it. Hit the subscribe button, and you'll find the show as you normally would. BasketballConferencePodcast@gmail.com is the email address.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Anything else before we get out of here and you guys get to go to bed?
Like, subscribe, rate the show if you're on Spotify. full transparency, we lost about 300 followers with this whole BS, which sucks.
Yep. Not great.
A lot of our traffic didn't come from Spotify. It did come from Apple, but like, so 300 followers on Spotify was nice. And so those of you who have rated the show, I've seen a few. Continue to rate the show. It's literally as easy. You hit the star button after listening to an episode, and well, you decide what stars we deserve. But, you know, please rate the show.
5 would be the best in theory, but, you know.
I don't tell people what to do with their stars. yeah.
Fair enough. Mike, Scott, it's been fun. You want to come back and preview week 12 later this week?
See you later.
All right. For that guy, Mr. Mike McDaniel, for Mr. Producer Scott, I'm Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again very, very soon. Until next time, go ACC.